Monday, April 18th, 2011, dare I say, Tax Day. This is Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. Now, Mayor Bloomberg is attempting to eliminate nearly 17,000 infants and toddlers from safe, quality, and affordable daycare. The education mayor is prepared to devastate subsidized daycare. Once again, Bloomberg has exposed himself to be not the protector of working families, but ready to turn his back on the working families needing public daycare.
The mayor has a $2 billion rainy day fund that he does not wish to share with New Yorkers in need. He cannot take this money, our money, and give it to the millionaires and billionaires while cutting the jobs of daycare providers and forcing working parents out of the workforce if they don't have child care. We're joined by G.L. Tyler, Political Action Director of District Council 1707 AFSCME.
Now, I would start with the cuts, though I'm still annoyed at the fact that there are only 17,000 slots, because that hardly does the job that it needs to enable parents to be in the workforce when they have very young children. So why don't we begin by telling us where things are at with daycare, its vulnerability, and its valuableness to working families.
Thank you, and good evening. It's important that we understand that the 17,000 cuts represents a huge chunk of, as you said, safe, affordable, and quality daycare in New York City. And what it really means is that this precious gem that we have, public center-based daycare, will probably be abolished if these cuts go through. Now, District Council 1707 and Daycare Workers Local 205 and Head Start Local 95 has been actively fighting these cuts with parents and advocates. We are part of the Emergency Coalition for Child Care, and we've had a lot of activities over the last few months to try to defeat this. But we are also trying to save 9 daycare centers, 3 in Queens and 6 in Brooklyn, that the mayor is trying to close down in late June.
By the way, Gio, let me just, the 17,000 are, how many slots are there actually now in the daycare world? 17,000 eliminated out of how
that
many?
That basically represents about half of the slots in New York City
and
right
how
now.
How much have they gone down in the last 8 years since?
And we've
around.
Lost 14,000. So there have been, you know, since the Lindsay administration basically developed child care in the 60s. This mayor has been the destroyer of child care. I mean, we had problems with the Giuliani administration, but this mayor has been the worst. Nobody could be worse than this guy.
And when we say daycare, what actually happens in these centers?
Well, you know, the children receive the first thing, I really have to say is they receive education. They receive social skills. They also receive good, nutritious meals. And, you know, they're watched by professional people, dedicated people, from basically 7 to 8 o'clock to all the way to 6 p.m. And those parents are relieved that they don't have to worry about their children. So both for the child who receives, again, education and social skills, the parents have free minds that their children are being cared for.
Oh, you're creating memories when you asked what happens in a daycare center, having started as a daycare teacher. I think generally what happens is after you put on 35 snowsuits, they tell you that they then have to go to the bathroom, and even though you've already asked. Only one asks, and then you have to take off the snowsuits and start all over again. See, it's social skills. They get together and collectivize their intellect against the teachers. But there's so much that, I'm sorry, I just couldn't help that. But there's a play venue and there's an educational venue, and it's strategic. How is a parent? We have so many single heads of household who do not have anybody who can provide that service. How are they to be in the workforce?
Well, that's going to be a major problem, because even the Daily News has been collecting information from parents that many parents are going to lose their jobs because they will not be able to afford the private or corporate daycare that the Bloomberg administration is pushing. You know, they're pushing to have corporations come in and take over daycare, and it's going to be impossible for parents to afford it.
So the children, in some ways, again, become chattel, if you will. And in effect, we wind up with our Kentucky Fried Children again. Shove them into a corporate milieu where, of course, the corporations make money as we get fleeced. Am I cynical? Not in the least. But I do...
realistic, actually.
But you said something that stymies me a bit, and explain it. The administration currently is more recalcitrant or more backward than the Giuliani administration when it comes to child care. Why? What's that about?
Well, you know, it's very difficult to understand their philosophy, because this is nothing that they would publicize. But by their actions, they're proven to be quite regressive. In other words, they're pushing for a program called Early Learn, which basically opens up public center-based daycare to corporations. This has never been done before. And also, in this Early Learn program that they're pushing, it has no recognition of the union contracts in the system. So basically, they would like to eliminate the union.
So this is union busting as well. So we close daycare center, we eliminate slots, we chase people out of the workforce, we come up with a new avenue for corporations to make money. How sinister.
Very sinister. And they also have another program called Project Full Enrollment, which is not full enrollment at all. Right now, New York City's daycare centers have been fully funded. But under this Project Full Enrollment, it will be a different system that would fund per child. So if a child ages out, let's say, and goes to kindergarten, they would immediately cut off funds, which would mean that workers would lose jobs. Now, obviously, in regards to child care, when you have our members in there, I mean, they're receiving pensions, they're receiving health benefits, they received decent wages. And our members have, particularly our head teachers, have the same credentials as public school teachers. I mean, they have the same educational background and the same certificates that are needed. So if he tries to eliminate these things, I mean, what does he really want to do? I mean, we don't really fully understand it, because, again, they're not vocal about what their real missions are, except to basically take away what we know. And what we know is that a system that is run right, why should it be changed?
And how many workers will be laid off, do you think, if this change goes through?
Well, in regards to our local 205, I mean, we were talking about over 1,000, and it could be up to 1,500. We're not really sure. I mean, it's because the program has not been implemented yet. But whatever it is, it would basically devastate the system. devastate our members. And again, for those families that can't afford other child care, I mean, they'll be either going to persons who could be disruptible, excuse me, and have to quit work if they can't find other alternatives.
Now, clearly this is something that impacts very often single heads of household. It impacts women, and it impacts women who may more recently have been able to get into the workforce. And again, it's pushing them right out of the workforce. Now, tell us who the daycare workers are as well.
Well, you know, it's very interesting that you say that, because I look at both daycare workers and our Head Start workers the same way. A lot of these people came through the system. Their children came through the system. In some cases, three generations have come through the system. They've gotten education. And with the help of the union's education department, of course, they've been able to get advanced degrees. Some actually leave and become public school teachers in other states because they're dedicated to preschool care. And we consider that very important.
GL, one of the things that also I think should be related to our listeners is, so where are the daycare centers that may close, and where are many, many, many of the 17,000 slots that are slated for elimination? What, you mentioned the boroughs, but what about neighborhoods?
Well, the neighborhoods, I mean, look, the major borough that's going to be affected is going to be in Brooklyn.
And where in Brooklyn? Because that makes all the difference.
Bed-Stuy, we're talking about Williamsburg. We're talking actually all through Brooklyn, Coney Island. There's a study now done by the Emergency Coalition to Save Child Care that has documented so where a lot of these changes are going to be. But, you know, it's going to be affected in Harlem. It's going to be affected in Mott Haven in the Bronx. It's going to affect Coney Island. I mean, these cuts are going to be in places that cannot afford to lose child care, because unemployment in those neighborhoods is high as well.
And incomes are low in many of these neighborhoods, particularly low. And these are not families that are going to be able to afford corporate daycare, assuming anybody should want to afford Kentucky Fried young children.
Well, one of the things that the Bloomberg administration has not done is to look at the environmental impact on these neighborhoods. And again, this the Emergency Coalition to Save Child Care has done a study called When There Is No Care, the Impact on New York City Children, Families, and the Economy When the Mayor Eliminates Child Care for 17,000 Children. And they list different neighborhoods according to their community districts. Again, Mott Haven, Hunts Point in the Bronx, High Bridge, University Heights. These are all going to suffer. But again, the majority of the cuts are going to definitely be in Brooklyn, because that's where they've traditionally – Brooklyn has more child care than any other borough in the city.
Yeah, it's the largest borough.
Well, if I was in the city council, if I was the chair of the city council, the speaker, I would be outraged on this. What kind of support are you getting from the city council?
Well, we're getting actually very good support from the city council. The Black Asian and Black Latino and Asian caucus recently sent a letter to the mayor, basically telling him to reconsider his actions and to seek to implement alternate cuts that would not interfere with the well-being of our city's most vulnerable citizens. And that's 26 members of the city council. Speaker Quinn has said that child care is one of her top priorities, and we're hoping that in the end, she will be highly supportive with us. She has in the past, and And basically, in the last 2 years, when there's been cuts, the city council has basically closed the cuts, and we've been very fortunate. But this time, just for center-based child care, we're talking about $50 million. So where is that money going to come from? It can't come out of the city council budget. This has to come from the mayor, and the city council's got to force the mayor to come up with the funding. And he has the money.
He has, according to the material that I've seen from your organization, 1707, $2 billion in a rainy day fund. So why isn't that money in part being used to make sure we don't axe children who have barely begun to live their lives and to prosper in this society, in their intellectual development, in their growth? What in the world? Is this really also just about insensitivity to impoverished communities, to poor people being in the workforce, to union busting? Is that what we are to understand is really the stance of Mayor Bloomberg?
Well, you know, I think it's all those things. Plus, we have a mayor that does not have his priorities set properly. If you're talking about child care and he's thinking about building more hotels throughout New York City, if he's talking about allowing new corporations to come in, if he's talking about, I don't know, more restaurants, we know, where do children come in? I mean, does he not see what the future of New York City really is? I mean, some of these children could be the next professional, the next mayor, the next president. We don't know. You know, but they need to have those opportunities. And to cut child care means that they're going to have to take a step backwards in continuing their own education. They're already coming from neighborhoods which have real problems and needs that we're not fulfilling. Our graduation rates are not very high in this town. This education mayor is not an education mayor.
Well, that's for sure. So what is it that needs to be done, GL? What do our listeners do to make sure that we do not allow, and these again are cuts on top of cuts, but to make sure that the attempt to eliminate nearly 17,000 infant and toddlers from safe environs does not occur?
Well, for the last month, we've been pushing parents and others to call 311 and leave a message for the mayor. Yes, it's been tying up 311, but it's been effective, and he's getting the message. Also, on Wednesday, May 11th at 10 o'clock, Local 205 and DC 1707 is having a demonstration at City Hall, which will further push the deed to have safe, quality, and affordable child care for all working families. And that's going to be, again, at City Hall Park. And
what date is that and what time?
It's going to be at 10 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday, May 11th.
So SOC, Save Our Children.
Well, you know, just the other day when the coalition had their press conference on the steps of City Hall, the mayor was coming up at the same time, and people started yelling, "Save our sinners, save our sinners." And he walked over to an advocate and said to the advocate, "You know, yelling doesn't achieve anything." Well, you know, we disagree with that. We need to yell. We need to scream. We need to lobby, everything we can do to make this mayor understand he cannot win this battle.
That's right. Sock it to him. Save our senses. Save our children. And we have been joined by G.L. Tyler, Political Action Director of District Council 1707. And we're going to save those child care slots. We must. They're our future.
That's
thanks
right.
for joining
thank
us.
Thank you. So much. It's glad to be here.
We'll be with you then.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.